Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Today we're continuing on the series of our distinctives, our values, as it pertains to membership that we're enacting. And today I want to talk about one of our distinct values, which is the lifestyle of prayer and fasting. A lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And so turn to your neighbor or on the chat and say, hey, good looking, I love prayer and fasting. Go ahead, just nudge somebody. I love prayer and fasting. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 13. And I'm going to use this to describe a kind of obedience or fast or something. Okay, just follow along. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And it says, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And so Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then he took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for a fruitful house, Lord. We thank you for babies, Lord, and we thank you for families that are growing. And we just thank you for this church, this body, Lord. Lord, now I pray that you would come and teach us. Lord, you are the head of the church, God. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of this church. So would you come and teach us and guide us, Lord, and show us the way, your way. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room and all the rooms. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in our houses, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 And so many years ago, when we had just first started Solomon's Porch, we're actually meeting over on DeVoe Road, right above a McDonald's. It's amazing how we moved into another building right above McDonald's, even though now McDonald's is not here anymore. If you haven't been around church in a while, you'll be shocked to know McDonald's is no longer on the ground floor. But that has no point of this message, okay? But I thought I'd just mention that. And so we had this season, and what was happening was there are many people in the congregation. We were quite small at the time, maybe about 30 people. And many people in the congregation were getting sick. But on top of that, some moms that we knew, most of them not really so much our own moms, but moms that we were connected to, they started getting diagnoses of cancer. And it was like three people that we knew, three moms, and we were really struck by this. And so we decided that we're going to start a season of prayer and fasting. In fact, we got together every single night at church to pray for these families that are going through this ordeal. And people, and whoever could come, and we would just, every night, we would come together and seek God's face and pray. And then also, many of us would also choose to fast certain days and certain meals throughout this time. And you know what happened? Within a few months, everyone got healed. I mean, it was amazing. And I think what it did, it really lifted up our faith, our very infant church at that time, as we saw God really move on our behalf. And this really begs us to ponder on this idea that sometimes, and not sometimes, there'll be many, many times in our lives where we'll be confronted with a situation that is beyond our ability to either comprehend or to overcome. And it's going to happen. I'm sure that maybe some of you are even going through that season right now. That there are seasons and moments and times where we just get overwhelmed with things that are going on around us. I mean, we look at what happened in Hong Kong with the protests and then COVID. And so many people are paralyzed with fear and anxiety and doubt and all these things. And we're pressed with the situation or situations that we cannot do on our own strength. And you know what? And God knows that. God understands that. And so he sends us the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, that will be our advocate and stand alongside of us. But also what he does, he gives us a precious gift. Really, a spiritual dynamite that helps us to understand and helps us to overcome. And that's the ministry of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. But at Solomon's Porch, what we want is we don't want us to just operate in prayer and fasting when we're in emergency situations. What we want to do is we want people to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of fasting. You know, prayer is really our way of saying to God, God, I need you. Prayer is saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Because, you know, I mean, you've heard me teach on this so many times, but you know the major or the root sin of prayerlessness, not praying, is not being lazy or not having enough time. I believe the root issue of prayerlessness is self-sufficiency. In other words, you feel like you can do it yourself, so you don't need to pray. Well, God, I don't need you. I don't need to seek you. I don't need to pray to you because I already got the situation figured out. I kind of know what I'm doing. And we can understand this because as soon as whatever you're doing, like your job, your family, your health, or whatever it may be, you got a handle on it. But as soon as something goes wrong, as soon as you're pressed with a situation that now you can't handle, what do? We go to pray. And we say, oh, God, help me. It's self-sufficiency. But God, we don't want just to pray and fast in emergencies. We want to pray and fast as a lifestyle because we're always dependent on God. Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's crazy how so many of us really don't believe what Jesus just said in John 15. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing, absolutely zero. And thus, we need to seek God all the time. We need him all the time. He is our daily bread. He is the air that we breathe. We can understand these things. And so, this lifestyle, but I want to talk about this, and I want to take a different angle here a little bit. Because a lot of it is, I mean, prayer and fasting, you've been around SP, you know, at the end of December, early January, I'm going to be talking about 3 weeks on fasting and prayer. If you've been around for so long time, you've heard me speak on, you know, maybe 100 messages on prayer and fasting, if you've been with us from the beginning. And so I don't need to redo that because we're going to get to that in December. And so I wanted to approach prayer and fasting from kind of a different angle. And this is the angle that I wanted to approach it from. I wanted to ask this simple question, really simple question. Are there some things that we can do in the natural realm? In other words, right now on earth, are there certain things that we can do in the natural that will have an effect in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world or the heavens? Can I do something on earth? Can I physically do something that has spiritual, heavenly ramifications? That's the question that I'm trying to wrap my brain around. And of course, the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. If you're part of or getting married and you're part of our premarital class, we talk a lot about this idea of one flesh. And this is the marriage covenant. And from Genesis, he says when a husband and wife, when they get married, they create a one flesh union. And Paul will later tell us in Ephesians that this is a mystery. It is mysterious. It's a spiritual act when God brings two people, a man and a woman, together and they make a covenant relationship before God. When they come together in covenant, guess what? They create a one flesh bond or one flesh union. It is so powerful. It's mysterious. It's a joining of two people and they become one. And it's powerful. And that's really the beauty of marriage and covenant and these things. And so Paul uses this idea speaking to the church in Corinth and in 1 Corinthians 6:16. As people, as men particularly, were going to visit temple prostitutes, and he's saying, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. And he uses this mystery. And look what he says in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 6:16, he says, or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. Now, this is groundbreaking, because listen to what Paul is saying. He says, when a couple comes together and they say, I do, in the presence of God and a minister and family and friends, when they say, I do, guess what? A one flesh union is starting to happen. But the act, the physical act, the human act, the natural act that actually confirms and binds and you could say kind of ratifies one flesh is sexual intercourse. I mean, think about the ramifications of that. In other words, Paul is saying there is a physical act that carries incredible spiritual dimension. That's why obviously you should be holy, but that's why especially sexual intercourse, especially that you need to keep away. He says all other sins, you know, are done outside the body, that's one thing, but sexual immorality, you do it to your own body, and it just messes you up. And this is part of the teaching on this. And so you could say this, there are physical actions that have spiritual ramifications. I'll say it again. There are physical actions, physical deeds, physical acts that have spiritual ramifications. Something we do in the flesh that affects the spiritual. Something we do here on earth that affects something that goes on in heaven. It's amazing. It's powerful how we see this. And obviously, sexual intercourse is one of these things. It's a human action that has spiritual ramifications. That's huge. Let's really wrap our brain around this. Now, there are some other aspects of this as well. Obviously, another one is prayer and fasting. This is a huge one, that when you pray, when you go and seek God and you ask God, in other words, there's an action that we do here on earth, and when we operate in that action, guess what? God moves from heaven and something happens. I had this happen to me this week. Thursday night, we had our monthly board meeting. And in our board meeting, and earlier that day, I had to get a procedure because I've been having some major hip problems. And so my doctor and my physio think that I may have some kind of degenerative hip, or I probably tore a labrum or something. There's certain movements that are very painful. And so I went to go get an MRI, but the kind of MRI where they inject through an ultrasound, they inject a fluid inside, a contrasting fluid, so that whatever tear, whatever damage can be very easily seen through the MRI. And it's very painful. You know, they come in with the ultrasound, and they stick a needle, and it goes deep into the joint. And so I had that procedure in that morning, and then I got to, it was a little stiff. I was limping when I was walking throughout the day. But when I got to night, we were in the board meeting, and I started getting really hot. I started getting a fever, and you know, I'm still keeping the meeting. I don't think anyone on the board knows, but my face is getting red, and I'm still talking again over this meeting. But I could just feel my fever going up, and I'm touching my head. And so, you know, I'm calling my wife and she comes and she touches my head. She didn't want to be in the camera, so I got to stick my head out, you know, from the Zoom. And so she touches and she gives me some Panadol and all these things. And at the end, I started getting worse. Like, man, do I have COVID? You know, this is not going to be good, right? Because we have so many things going on this weekend and so on and so forth. And so at the end of our meeting, I told the board, I says, hey guys, can you guys pray for me? Can you really pray? Because I feel this fever. I'm starting to get really hot. I don't know what's going on. It's probably a reaction to the medicine, I hope, the injection that I got. Please, let's do something. And so, you know, the board were gracious. They prayed for me. And it was crazy. They prayed for me about 5 minutes online or on Zoom. And then by the end of it, all of a sudden I tapped my head and I was perfectly fine. And we ended the meeting and I went to the bedroom. My wife was there waiting for me. And usually, you know, if I'm going to be really honest, I kind of like to be a little sick, just a little bit. I get a little more TLC from my wife. And so she was lying in bed. So I came in and, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I had a fever. And she looks at my head and nothing. And so she still gave me TLC, but nothing. And I was like, "Well, praise God!" And it's been great ever since then. But I mean, look what I'm saying: a physical act. A bunch of men and women of God prayed for me. That they did a physical act, something here on earth, and it had a spiritual dimension to it, ramification. And the fever was gone. I was healed. Praise God. It was amazing. I mean, there's so many, I don't want to belabor, there's so many examples throughout the Bible. I'll give you a few different cases, okay? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah is barren and cannot conceive a child. And so she's really heartbroken. So she goes to the temple and she prays and says, Lord, can you bless me with the baby? Can you, you know, so on and so forth. I'll dedicate him to you and all these things. And guess what happens? She prays desperate for a son. And you know what happens? Samuel is given. Isn't that powerful? A physical act. Something's off with her body. A physical act. She prays. And God hears from heaven and touches her womb, and Samuel is born. That's pretty cool. Here's another one. This one actually is pretty funny. In Acts chapter 12, it's a story of Peter who's in prison for preaching the gospel. So he's in prison for preaching the gospel. A church is meeting, most likely in John Mark's house. So a church is meeting, and they're upstairs praying for Peter to be released from prison. Okay, so this is the idea. And so can you imagine, so they're in the upper room and they're praying, Lord, please release Peter. Peter's in jail because he's preaching your gospel. So will you release him? And so guess what God does? God sends an angel to the prison, opens the door supernaturally. Peter gets out of prison, walks out. He goes to the house where they're praying. He knocks on the door. The servant girl opens the door, and she's so shocked. It's Peter. She closes the door. She doesn't even welcome him in, and she goes back upstairs. And the guys, everyone who's praying upstairs is saying, oh, no, no way. This can't happen. Peter's not out. In other words, think about this. God answered their prayers so fast. I mean, think about this. He answered their prayers so fast that when he was released, the servant girl couldn't believe it, and the disciples who were praying upstairs couldn't believe it. It's almost like, have you ever had that? You're praying so fast, and it happens so fast that you're still praying, and you can't believe that God already answered the prayer. That's what I mean. It's a little comical. I mean, this is exactly what's going on here. And so, again, these guys were in the upper room. Peter was in prison. They prayed, God, release him. And as they prayed, you know what God did? Phew, he dispatched one of his angels. He opened the door. Peter's released. A physical act that had spiritual ramifications. Prayer. I'll give you another one. So, you know, different kinds. You know, talk about healing, these things. 2 Kings chapter 19, in verse 19, the powerful Assyrian king Sennacherib lays siege on Jerusalem. Hezekiah, the king, King Hezekiah, begins to tell his people, hey, don't be afraid. He charges them up like a good king. He encourages them. And then he goes to the Lord and says, oh God, please save your people. And then what does God do? So remember, physical act, prayer, earnest prayer, a physical act is done, and God, he hears from heaven, and he dispatches his angel. His angel comes, wipes out the Assyrian army. It's powerful. You see, brothers and sisters, physical actions have spiritual ramifications. This past Sunday at the well, there was a sister in our church who's having a lot of issues with her ankle. I think she had ankle surgery or something to the effect. And she's been in pain for quite a bit. And she's going through physio and these type of things. And it seemed like her healing process kind of stalled for a bit. She's walking to different places. It would swell up. She's on medication, all kinds of things. So she came to the Zoom room last Sunday at the well. And the well ministers prayed for her, and she got healed. All of a sudden, the inflammation, all those things. She says in her testimony that for the first time in 3 months, she actually could walk down the escalator and go to the MTR and take the tram to wherever she was going. In 3 months. See, I mean, check out what happens. Go to the room. People pray, physical act, and then God hears from heaven, and phew, spiritual ramification. Something happened. Something happened to her ankle in that place. That is really cool. I mean, that is really pretty awesome. That we measly human beings, that we can do something here on earth. We can act in some way. And then what happens? Spiritual ramification. Spiritual benefit. Something begins to happen in and through our lives. Right? It's cool. There's another powerful human natural act that also has spiritual ramifications. You know what that is? Obedience. Obedience. Let's go back. Let's go back to the Exodus passage in Exodus 17. So Amalek, incredible enemies of God and his people, the Israelites, they are camped and they're ready to fight. Moses hears something from the Lord that says, okay, it's time to fight. Go and fight. And he gets an instruction from God to go to the top of the hill to lift his hands and lift the staff, which, remember, represented the power of God, to lift the staff up. And then look what happens. When his arms were lifted up, guess what? Israel were winning the battle. When Moses got tired and his arms came down, guess what happened? Amalek started winning the battle. So they bring a stone up. Moses is now sitting on the stone. And then Aaron and Hur, the priests, lift their hands up. They join him. And so the whole time his hand is lifted up. And then the Israelites win. I mean, think about it. This is such a great story to illustrate this point that I'm trying to make. Physical actions have spiritual ramifications here. This is what's going on. Physical obedience, or the physical act, affected the spiritual realm. Moses, physical act, arms raised up with the staff, victory for the Israelites. Got tired, arms came down. Guess what? Defeat for the Israelites. I mean, isn't this such an incredible word picture that we see here? A physical act, physical obedience affected the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, I want you to make this intellectual connection in our minds. What we do physically connects to what happens spiritually. Brothers and sisters, connect this in your minds. Connect this in your heart, your soul, your spirit. Let it sink deep in. Make a connection between what we do physically and what happens spiritually. What we do physically and what happens spiritually. As long as Moses physically obeys the Lord by lifting up that staff and the Israelites are fighting, guess what? Victory happens here. right? He does it with his body. They become victorious. It reminds me of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And it's a really good passage in connection with this. He says in 1 Timothy 2, 8, "Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. You know, dissension, I looked this up because I kind of trying to understand what this is saying. Dissension is questioning what is true. In the King James Version, it's translated as doubting. The NIV translated as disputing. The New Living Translation translated as controversy. And so we're talking about dissension is questioning what is true. In other words, he's saying, hey, you men, lift up holy hands. Don't complain about it. Just obey what I'm telling you to do. Don't question what is true. Don't question what I'm asking you to do. And isn't that a lot of our obedience? Isn't that what we do? We're always questioning, God, do you really want me to do this? Is this something that you really want us to happen in this way? But lifting up holy hands and praying, and don't question that God's asking you to do this. If he's asking you to lift up holy hands and pray, lift up holy hands and pray. It's just a very simple thing. If God is asking you, you know, to simply go and serve in SP Kids, guess what? Go and serve in SP Kids. If God is asking you to join the outreach team, guess what? Join the outreach team. Don't question what is true. Don't operate in this dissension. Just obey the Lord because your obedience has spiritual ramifications. Your human obedience, your physical obedience on earth has ramifications in the heavenly places. See, the problem that I think that we face a lot of times that as modern Christians is we are so motivated by our emotions and our intentions. We're so motivated by emotions and intentions, and because of that, we actually sometimes not involved in the doing of it and replaces that. So let me quote you. This is Soren Kierkegaard. I read this book years ago, and he talked about intentions. I thought it was so powerful. So here's a quote. This is Kierkegaard, a great Danish philosopher. This is what he says. He says, because of the a priori element in intention, good intentions are so tempting compared with the successive unfolding in time and have so often in them some narcotic which develops an inner gaze instead of a resilience that begets energy. Wow. I know some of you are saying, wow, because you have no idea what he just said. Okay, so let me translate Kierkegaard for you. What he's basically saying is, since you intended to do it, it doesn't matter if you did it or not, as long as you intended to do it. In other words, it becomes this thing that there is no resilience that begets. And in other words, we never do anything because we live off our intentions. Let me continue with Kierkegaard. Here's another quote. He says, a no does not hide anything, but a yes can very easily become a deception, a self-deception, which of all difficulties is the most difficult to conquer. Ah, it is all too true that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Think of what Kierkegaard is saying. He's saying, you know, no, but a lot of times we say yes, but we don't do it. But we excuse ourselves because we intended to do it. And he said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So think about this. Okay, if you don't believe that, try doing this the next time with your wife. Just say, honey, I know it's your birthday. I intended to buy you some beautiful flowers. I intended to make a beautiful reservation at your favorite restaurant. I had the emotions, the whole, I intended to do it. I just didn't get around to it. Sorry. See what response you get from your wife. Or at your work, you tell your boss, you know, boss, you know what? I had to finish this project by Friday. I had full intention of finishing this project. I just didn't get around to it, but you can excuse me. It's okay because I have a good heart. I intended to do it. So, okay, thank you. Bye-bye. I'll see you on Monday. Your boss is going to fire you, man. You know what I mean? But it's crazy how in the Christian life, we so easily give ourselves over. We excuse ourselves because we had the right intentions or our emotions. We're so emotional. We're so feeling people. We're in service and you know, Pastor Nate says, everyone, let's lift up holy hands and let's worship God and let's lift our hands and let's praise the Lord. And you say to yourself, well, I'm a worshiper. I know I'm a worshiper. I feel like I'm a worshiper. So God knows I don't have to lift my hands because inside I'm worshiping the Lord. Or you say, you know, I'm a humble person. I know God knows I'm a humble person. Even though I feel like I should get on my knees, but I don't need to do something physical because God, you know my heart. And this is okay for us to show this. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, man, right? I mean, imagine, like I said, with your wife, or imagine with your spouse or with your boss or something. You know, that kind of thinking, that kind of going by your feelings and I'm this, I don't have to do that. It's false. It is totally false, right? I mean, try the next time you tell your wife, you know, honey, you know I love you in my heart, but you do nothing, absolutely nothing to show her. Tell me how that goes, okay? I want to hear a testimony from you guys about that one, right? I want you to, for the next week, just, you know I love you in my heart. You know, I love you so much in my heart. But you do absolutely nothing, right? Let me hear some testimonies of what happens to you, right? How many bruises and things you get during that time. Brothers and sisters, don't lose sight. Physical obedience affects the spiritual. Physical obedience affects the spiritual. So when we talk about prayer and fasting, praying, fasting, obedience. There's something. God leads us into that place of prayer and fasting. That obedience, something is affected. Something happens. Now, let me close with this thought. I believe a major fault in this misunderstanding is because we misunderstand the difference between God's love and God's favor or blessing. So let me break it down for you just for a moment. They are very similar, but there is a difference. God's love, forever. God's love, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. Undeserved, it's totally given by grace. Everyone, the love of God, you can, you know, you heard me say this, you can leave church today, you can never pray again, you can never open up the Bible, never do anything spiritual, none of these things, and God cannot love you less than he loves you right now. He cannot. You can murder someone, you can do all kinds of things, he will not love you less because his love is infinite, it's eternal, it is despite you, despite who you are, despite what you do. If you obey God faithfully for your whole life, you can't earn even one more little ounce of his love. He loves you and he accepts you because of Jesus Christ. He has accepted the perfection and sacrifice of Christ for you. He's redeemed you through his blood. And so you have nothing left to prove. There's nothing you can do for God to love you more. His love is constant. It doesn't change whatsoever. That's God's love. However, there's something called God's favor or God's blessing. And it seems through the scriptures that these are extended to those who love him back and obey him. All through the scriptures, you see the reward of God toward those who love his words and follow his words. I'm going to rattle off a few of them for you right now. Psalm 5:12. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. So, how do you get this? By being a righteous man. Psalm 90:17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. You see that? Favor connected to what we do. Genesis 6:8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Everyone else on the face of the planet, guess what? They were evil. They did evil deeds. But Noah was righteous. He loved God. He obeyed God. Obeyed him so much that he built an ark in the middle of the desert. I mean, crazy. There's been no rain, no flood, nothing. But he finds favor in the eyes of God. I love this one. Have you ever been to an SP wedding? I say this at every SP wedding. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. How do you get this kind of favor from God? Find a good wife. And obviously, vice versa, husband. You find a good wife, and guess what? You obtain God's favor. See? Love, constant. Nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do. It doesn't lower, it doesn't go higher. It's consistent forever. Favor is a different thing altogether. There's a lot of things you can do to earn God's favor. A lot of things. You know, and sometimes it's just uncanny. For my whole Christian life, I don't know what it is. I don't have any idea, but you find people, if they communicate and talk about me in that way, there's just some favor on Pastor Sam. There's just something, right? And, you know, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, right? You don't, I mean, you know, we fast, you know, 21 days in January, but you don't see the other fasts that I do continually throughout the year. There's so many private things, and in a way, aligning my life so that the favor of God can fully flow. There's things you can do. There are physical acts, physical actions that carry spiritual dynamics, spiritual ramifications. And prayer and fasting is one of these things. See, look, it doesn't mean that obedience will basically help you avoid trials and suffering, but you can safely and biblically say that those who obey the Lord will experience more blessing and favor than those who don't. It's the narrative of the Scriptures. And when obedience is tied to prayer and fasting, something explosive happens in our lives. Like I said, I'm not going to speak at so length about prayer and fasting and break it down, because I'm going to do that at the end of this year as we talk about the fast. But I do want to lay down a foundation for us when we get there, that our physical acts have spiritual consequences. We're all beloved by God, but His favor and blessings especially flow as we physically obey and pray. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit whisper in your heart how He wants to release His favor, the favor of the Lord. It's powerful when you feel it, when you're experiencing it. Favor with your family, with your kids, with your spouse, with your in-laws. Favor at work. Favor over your finances. Favor over the works of your hands. It's beautiful. I pray for this favor every single day over my life and over the life of my family and the life of our church. Constantly asking God for favor. You know, and part of that too is really, it's coming to that place of alignment with God, obeying Him, praying and seeking after Him, not getting caught in self-sufficiency. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How are you receiving? How can you receive more favor and blessing in your life? Obedience, prayer, and fasting. As the worship team leads us, let's go before the Lord and just dialogue with Him about this.
In spirit and truth. got the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin. Open up the gates of heaven and have back. What can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? What can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by Jesus. What can I give? Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed.
Of the debt.
Of the debt of love that is owed, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Paul tells the church in Rome, he says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Man, it's our actions. It's how we do, how we roll. You know, it doesn't affect the love that God has for us, but it may have an effect on His favor. I know that you want the favor of the Lord to be over your lives. It starts obedience, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord, lifting up holy hands, not just putting ourselves as an excuse by our emotions or our intentions, but really presenting our whole body as a living and holy sacrifice before the Lord. I want to challenge you as peers this week, through the rest of this year, our rest of our life, to present our bodies. Our physical acts have a spiritual effect. Connect that inside of you. Connect it. Because it's going to make a big difference in the way God releases His blessing and favor over us. Amen? Amen. Let's come together. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. make that connection in our minds, God. Lord, we have so easily, so quickly, Lord, have excused ourselves by our emotions and our intentions. Lord, we understand, God, that our physical actions have spiritual ramifications. And so lead us to be obedient to you, God, to seek after you in prayer and fasting, Lord. We thank you, God. Touch us. Touch us, we pray. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Wow. God bless you guys. We pray for God's best. We pray his favor will be upon you so powerfully as you present your bodies as a living sacrifice before him. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your lunch and your time together. Please join us online throughout this week as we pray together in morning prayer, at lunchtime prayer. If you want any healing or any prayer for anything, go onto our Zoom link and you can connect with one of our well ministers and create your testimony. God bless you guys. Take care, right? Go Lakers. Bye.